Welcome to the QualiTalks podcast, a show about pharma and GMP. The pharmaceutical industry is a fascinating and complex field, and it takes countless people to bring a product to the market. In this podcast, we bring you some of the industry's brightest minds who will share their wisdom with you. You will learn about various subjects such as GMP, new trends in pharma, and leadership. And now, please welcome your host, Jan Kugel.
Welcome to the QualiTalks podcast. I'm Jan Kugel, and today we are honored to have Toon Lambrecht as our guest at our podcast. So Toon is a self-proclaimed biotech nerd with an impressive background in the field of advanced cell and gene therapies. And in this episode, we'll dive into Toon's passion for democratizing access to these life-changing therapies and explore his work as a co-founder of MyCellHub, a SaaS solution for biomanufacturing. We'll also discuss the current state of data management and documentation practices in GMP environment and the challenges they pose for the industry. Plus, we'll explore how MyCellHub toolkit is revolutionizing the biomanufacturing process by improving quality compliance and production time. Finally, we'll shift gears towards Toon's thoughts on the ever-evolving pharma industry amidst global events such as COVID-19. How will digitalization impact data integrity and what role it will play in shaping the future of pharmaceuticals? So, Toon, welcome to the QualiTalks podcast. How are you doing today?
Hello, Jan. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Great. So on your LinkedIn page, you proclaim yourself as a biotech nerd. So can you tell me a bit about your background and how you became a biotech enthusiast and why do you call yourself like this way?
Sure. Told us already in your nice intro, I'm the co-founder of MyCellHub. I have a bioengineering background from the University of Leuven in Belgium, and I did quite some research during my PhD on the large-scale manufacturing of cell therapy. So that's a bit my biotech background. And to be honest, I don't remember exactly what triggered my interest in biotech, to be honest, but it was more like this realization that creeped upon me where I had like, whoa, isn't it scary that, you know, after a couple of billions of years of random evolution, that today, basically after maybe, I don't know, 50, let's say 100 years of research, that we as the human species can now direct our own evolution. And I had this realization and it kind of creeped upon me that I was like, okay, I want to be part of this biotech revolution, basically. And then somehow more by accident, to be honest, I stumbled upon an internship in a company developing a novel bioreactor for a certain cell therapy. And then when I realized there that, okay, you can actually make a living working on these type of cool biotech projects. And since then, honestly, I was just hooked. And I've been in biotech since the beginning of my career, and I probably will be there by the end of my career.
So what have you been doing in the biotech when you started?
I started as a PhD researcher, working in the lab of Frank Luyten, who was a co-founder of Digenix. And then I moved into this internship at Octane Biomedical, which was not a research, but more like an engineering developing internship for a couple of months to develop a novel bioreactor. And then I went back to university and there I did a big project again in the same lab. And basically there I realized, okay, there's so much data to be gathered. Let's do something with this data. And that's how I rolled from the biotech into more the software plus biotech side. That's a little bit how I came to today.
Got it. So that's a good career path, I would say, to where you're at right now. So you're also talking about democratizing access to advanced cell and gene therapies. So what does it mean exactly, democratizing such therapies, and what really motivates you to do it? So it's probably connected to what you already explained, and I get it that you that everything that you talked about is part of your motivation, but this democratizing, this specific word is often used, and it's very interesting to understand what you mean by that and what you're really doing to achieve this goal.
It's a bit of a hype word, I agree, but I think we came a very long way already with treating a lot of diseases in the last decennia, but there's still a couple of very nasty ones out there that are currently untreatable. But also, for example, more widespread, these common diseases like diabetes, for example, we have treatments for it and they are okay-ish, but we don't really cure the patient. And so for me, these cell and gene technologies or therapies, they hold a massive potential to cure some of the untreatable diseases. Also, let's say stuff like chemotherapy, they're so broad but so imprecise that I really believe that there's a lot of, you know, we can, there's a lot of things to be gained from more personalizing certain cancer therapies, just to make sure that the life of the patient is improving during the treatment, but also have less side effects after the treatment. And so these advanced therapies, they're so great. And we see spectacular results in clinical trials, for example, and more of these therapies are making it to the market. Like probably every couple of months, you see a new announcement, either a new therapy or at least a new disease that we can treat with the same therapy. But many of these advanced therapies, think of cell therapies, gene therapies, they come at a price that, well, almost no one can afford. And as the utopian idea, but I really do like to believe at least that the work we do on, for example, streamlining the manufacturing of these products, in a way contributes to making the access to these life-saving therapies accessible or more possible, and in that way democratizing it for, you know, having access not just for the rich and few people that have access to it, but let's say for every patient that needs them. That's the goal.
Right. So it's a quite a noble goal, because I do also believe that personalized therapies, gene therapies are the future, because this is probably the way to cure really complicated diseases like cancer, because each person is different, each cancer is a bit different, and we know that chemotherapy and even targeted medicine doesn't always work for all. And if you can treat it on the gene basis, you can achieve amazing things. It's
well, on the gene or on the cell basis, indeed. I think there's so many side effects of these more let's say chemotherapy. It's kind of, you know, it's a broad range therapy. It's like wide spectrum antibiotics. It would be way better and way in a way better for the patient, and all the long-term side effects of chemotherapy, that we can very precisely just target the cancer cells and, you know, leave all the other cells out of the question.
Exactly. And you talked about your background in engineering and your vision for these kinds of therapies. And the interesting thing, you co-founded a company called MyCellHub, which is more less on concentrated on research and development. It helps manufacturers to do things more efficiently, right? So how did you get to it? How did you connect you know, your background in bioengineering and for this? So what reasons did you see to create such a tool?
Yeah, it goes back to my PhD research, where I was working in a lab that was developing cell therapy to treat very large bone defects. And it was an autologous therapy, so a personalized therapy, meaning that there is a lot of patient-related information. And let's say every manufacturing process for every single patient had to be monitored very carefully. We were not treating patients at that time. It was more in the process development phase. But the lab generated so much data. And of course, you're there with, we were, I think, a group of 40 researchers at that time. And there's so much data collecting and piling up. It made it quite difficult to access the data from someone else because we were using paper lab notebooks, for example. And so to get access to historic data of PhD researchers before my time, I had to go through lab notebooks, and I was like doubting the quality of the data because I didn't have enough, let's say, metadata surrounding the data. I didn't know how it was collected, basically. And so in my spare time during my, the little spare time I had during my PhD research, I was building a platform to basically manage my own data and the data of my peers in the lab. And yeah, the project was together with PAL Life Sciences and Terumo BCT at that time. And then we were discussing the data. Those people from the industry, as a researcher, I was like, yeah, that's the industry. They were saying, okay, interesting data, but the platform you're using there, that is cool. Like some of the high-tech biotech customers that we have, they don't manage their data in such a advanced way. And basically that for me made the click where I was like, okay, it's easier probably to get this software on the market than the cell therapy that I was working on together with the whole research lab. And that's how the idea was brewing in my mind. I had one of my co-founders, Sebastien, who onboarded, and also Thomas, another co-founder who onboarded during that time. And we were basically developing the first version within the university. It was kind of incubated within the university for 2 years, more or less. And then when it grew a bit too big for it, we spun out all the IP from the university, and we started MyCellUp. I think that was in 2019. So it's really a university project that kind of got into commercial biotech manufacturing.
Right. So one usually says that the best solutions start. The best products come from personal need, right?
So that was really true. Yeah,
right. So you came from the university, from academia to the, and shifted to the pharmaceutical industry to serve the pharmaceutical industry. And from my personal experience, coming from academia to pharma, it's like two different worlds. And now you come to pharma from academia to help the pharma to deal with data. And how do you, so what were your impressions of how pharma deals with documentation? So in pharma, then you need to shift towards GMP. So in your thoughts, what are the current state of data management and documentation practices in GMP environments? And what challenges do you see there for your fresh eyes when you look at it?
It's an interesting question, and we actually did have a bit of a learning curve to bring the platform from the R&D to the pharma and biomanufacturing level, let's say. So it's two different things. On the other hand, talking to the biopharma companies, even today, 80% of all manufacturers still use paper to document processes that they execute in their clean room, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. They're literally re-engineering life as we know it, but they use technologies that is there for hundreds of years, just papers and pens in the clean room to document what they're doing. And I mean, what is the status of data management was the question. it's very paper-based still today. And the fact that it's paper-based also means that there's quite some manual work being done, like noting down expiry dates of the products you use. You note them down by hand on paper. Also some calculations sometimes that are done, I don't know, maybe for some, in cell and gene therapies, there's just quite some manual operations. So maybe some dilutions or cell count. Quite often we see that the calculations related to that are still done manually. And so, yeah, it's kind of conflicting. You have, at the one side, you have this rudimentary paper-based workflows. And on the other hand, there's this cutting-edge high-tech biotech work going on, which is very strange to see. And yeah, for me, that was a conflict. I was like, okay, we can solve this. It should be solvable.
Right. So how does Mycel Hub try to solve this situation? So maybe you can give, you know, talk a bit about what is the Mycel Hub toolkit is, so people understand what we are actually talking about, and then maybe you can shed some light about your vision on how this toolkit can make a difference in the manufacturing bioprocesses, and specifically how can it help in regard to compliance and you know, help in production.
Okay, so well, Mycel Hub is a software platform. And the goal of the platform is to get rid of every single piece of paper in the clean room. We do electronic batch recording, for example, which is literally recording every single step that happens in the manufacturing process. But we also have modules for inventory management. We know exactly in the electronic batch record which materials have been used, which equipments have been used during manufacturing. So we use that information to make a very smart inventory management tool and an equipment management tool. And another module that we have is more, basically you want to know that the clean room you're working in is clean. And so we have a clean room cleaning module that plans all the cleaning tasks and also tracks the execution of it, together with all the environmental monitoring workflows, like the viable particle counts and stuff like this, to streamline those clean room operations. So that is Mycel Hub in short. Maybe Jan, you will have to repeat the second part
right
of your question.
Yeah. So how, you know, so what is the vision for, you know, for the tool? So I understand, so you're quite a young startup, right? So, you have a good solution that you have some vision to it, to expand, okay, probably, you know, revolutionize the way things are done a bit, and helping the production and compliance. So how can, yeah, how does it connect together? So as you mentioned, you know, it's a learning curve for you to deal with the compliance, and probably learn about, okay, now I need to validate my system. I cannot just put it in. I need to combine it with the systems that the manufacturer is using right now. So how does it work for you? What are the challenges there?
I think it's a funny choice of words when you say revolutionize, because revolutionize and pharma and GMP, it doesn't go well together. But basically, the main goals of the platform are, well, obviously there's a time savings of working on paper. You don't have to, on a digital system. You don't have to copy data that you collected manually into the ERP system and stuff like this. But the main vision of the platform is actually that we prevent and reduce manufacturing errors by providing, you know, more interactive work instructions for the operators in the clean room. We can better guide them through the processes, either manufacturing or cleaning, whatever. We make sure that they collect the data at the right time, in the right format. They are reminded of stuff like signing off certain signatures. It's impossible in our platform to skip fields if you want. I mean, if you don't want a field to be skipped, the platform kind of actively reminds the operators of, you know, properly executing the process, but also documenting it in the right way. Of course, since it's digital, we can use some smart tricks, like we can use the camera of the tablet on which they record the processes for barcode scanning or taking videos or pictures to prove that what you've done is correct. So it's time savings and then the reduction of manufacturing errors or process errors. But then also this guidance, it basically makes sure that your processes and your operation remain in compliance more effortlessly. I mean, you don't have to necessarily check every single page to see, oh, is the signature there? Is everything filled out? Are there fields that are empty? No, the platform will like actively warn you. So those for me are the main revolutionizing things, even though it is, you know, it's not rocket science.
Right. So it's support. It supports. It changes the way people document, basically. So does it work exactly on a tablet? So do you have basically the opportunity to take a tablet with them into the rooms, and instead of documenting in paper, you fill the information inside the tool?
Yeah, more or less. It's a mobile app, so it works on your phone, it works on a tablet, it works on a computer. But generally, in a clean room, tablets are the easiest to, you know, to bring in. They're fairly easy to clean. So yeah, it works on a tablet. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, welcome to the 20th century, right, for the pharma industry.
Yeah, but that's of course the first step, right? I mean, that's the first transition you have to make. But I mean, we are in pharma, and like you said, everything has to be compliant. So of course, we make sure that all the IQOQ documentation is there, 21CVR11 compliance is there, audit trails, backups, and so on. Once that is there, then we can start to revolutionize. And that is where it starts to become interesting. Once you have your data in a central location, you know, you can start thinking about data analytics. You can start thinking also about automation in a way more integrated way. And so let's first solve the, you know, get rid of the 80% of manufacturers that still manufacture on paper. That's the first step, and make them digital. And then, of course, once you're digital, you know, you open up a whole new realm of possibilities, to be honest. So, of course, we can revolutionize, but since it's GMP, we have to go step by step.
Step by step, exactly. So pharma is conservative, right? So that's what we are talking about, right? You cannot, click a switch and click a button and everything changes. So let's talk a bit about the challenges of implementing such solutions. So not only Mycel Hub, but, you know, any digital solution. From experience, a lot of people who work many years, they have a tendency not want to change, right? So they resist change. So do you feel also when you come to different manufacturing floors or to different companies and you get the resistance, not that they sell, okay, you know what, the tool is, we don't need it, but the question is why? Right. So the question is, what resistance do you feel and who does it come from? From management, from people on the floor? What is your feeling on that?
Yeah, I think the why of the tool is almost with every person in the facilities, let's say, that we speak, is quite clear. It's more the why now. Why would we switch to a digital system now? It's more the question we have to deal with. Some people are like, yeah, paper works. It's going to be a lot of work to make it digital. In some cases, I do agree, paper does work. But think of, more high volume manufacturing or personalized therapies, for example, where every single patient has its own batch record and you have to go through the paperwork for every single patient. It's just not scalable. So especially in those cases, of course, the why of adopting these digital tools, and I'm just talking about digital tools in general, not just myself, it's quite often clear. There is some resistance sometimes in terms of the fear of, how do I say, like a software project. People are a bit scared of, it's going to take us 2 years to implement and then another year to validate. I think because they had bad experiences with and I won't say names, but let's say large software providers, more consultancy, big projects that just, you know, have scopes that expand, timelines that expand. So what we do see is that tools like MyCellup, that are a bit more off the shelf and very specialized, for example, for cell and gene therapy manufacturing or clean room cleaning, but that cover, let's say, the whole spectrum of paper-based operations in a clean room, where you can implement module by module more in some kind of off-the-shelf way that are pre-validated, at least to a certain extent, that is the way to go. And that is helping, let's say, the decision makers to overcome the feeling of, okay, this is going to be a massive project and we don't have, you know, we won't, when we start, we won't know when it will end, basically. So that is something that we feel a lot. So people really need strict timelines, and software development is not known for this strict timelines. But by offering off-the-shelf, pre-made, but easy configurable tools, we believe we can overcome some of those objections quite easily.
And those objections, where do you feel they're mostly coming from? So is it from quality, other departments? So who do you feel is more conservative there?
It really depends. It really, really depends. Like sometimes it's the IT department that is more afraid, for example, of the uptime of the system. Since, for example, we work in the cloud, but even the uptime of, let's say, your internal tools, if the Wi-Fi goes down, you don't have access to it. So that's, for example, something we see from the IT department. From the quality department, it's probably more on who has access to the data, what is in the audit trail. And then maybe from more the C-level department is the costs, of course. The return on investment has to be there. And maybe sometimes in manufacturing, we see that, like, clean room cleaning, environmental monitoring, no one is super scared of having the data in the cloud, but there's still some people that have some reluctance in putting their, let's say, their manufacturing IP in the cloud. I think, obviously, an on-premise installation has its own risks. There's pros and cons, but obviously with the new technologies, there's quite some tools to mitigate all these risks. But we have to talk to every level in the organization, overcome all their hurdles, or how do I say, objections. But every level has its own topics of interest, I would say.
Right. So you mentioned that the one of the biggest objections and the reason for them is why now, right? So do you use different analytical tools such as, cost of quality, and to show, okay, you're using paper? You know, how many deviations do you get because people write something by mistake, they write the wrong numbers, or they input the wrong information, they forget something? So do you have some analytics or some data that can help general in general people who want to digitize and they want to come to their department and say, okay, we need to use the tool XY? So do you have some data that collects, okay, if you come from paper to some digital tool, how much does it save us?
We have some use cases from customers that we worked with. I remember one use case for electronic batch recording, where we save up to 80% of the time spent on documentation, which is significant. And let's also face it, it's the most boring work of working in a GMP facility. I was at Bio in Boston last week, where I spoke with a person, and he told me that they have around 10 deviations just in clean room cleaning operations alone. And he calculated with his team that every deviation cost the organization between 10 to 20,000 euros. So probably with a digital tool, we won't be able to get rid of 10 out of 10 deviations, but even if we can get rid of, 70% of the deviations, that's a significant saving. So we indeed help with, quantifying the return on investment based on, prevention of errors. It's one of the biggest drivers, time savings. And then also there's quite some hidden costs of paper that people kind of take for granted. But in GMP, you have to keep your paper batch record or paperwork basically for 10 years. It depends a bit on where you are and what data it is. But so there's quite some costs linked to, like this type of Iron Mountain facilities, for example, where you either store everything or you have to scan it and upload it. These costs people don't account for. And also the logistics related to paperwork, like printing it on cleanroom paper, sterilizing the cleanroom paper, bringing the cleanroom paper through the airlocks into the cleanroom. It takes a couple of hours in some cases. Those logistics, people are so used to them in a way, but they take so much time. And that's the type of stuff we help our prospective customers to help quantify, to make a more quantifiable business case, of course. Yeah,
so that's a really, really good point. So when you think about it, when you work with paper, which you said before, it works, right? But the cost of issues with paper. So let's even talk about, signing documents and having different people having to sign it, and the documents get lost and or they get destroyed. You have deviations, and then you need to archive them. And many companies don't have the space, so they outsource it to a subcontractor. It's cost so much money, right? And dealing it with in the clean room. So so pharma for sure should head to a full digitalization. And I'm really happy to see many companies try to to go in this direction through different, EQMS and solutions such as yourself. And so we are heading into a good direction. So hopefully we will also get there. And so how long is Mycelle Hub on the market? So when did you start this? So is it pre-Corona time or was it afterwards?
Yeah, let's say within the university, I was working on it together with my co-founders full time since 2016. And then we became independent of the university in 2019. There was this learning curve to get from the R&D level to the GMP level. So we took more or less 1 year to get all the paperwork and 21 CFR 11 compliance in order. So commercially available since 2020, 2021, I would say.
Right. And through your journey, so it did take place during the COVID pandemic. So so we know that a lot of things changed in the world in terms of technology. So a lot of businesses that were offline, they really quickly switched to online. And many new solutions just popped out like mushrooms. So do you feel, from your perspective, do you see it happening also in pharma in some way? Did pharma also, got impacted by this digitalization storm?
Yeah, in a way, yes, I think. We talked about briefly about the cloud and some hesitance of going, in the cloud. I really have the feeling when I was talking to customers or prospective customers, like, yeah, it's a cloud application. In 2019, there was more hesitance. Right now, people are used to having, SharePoint, whatever, shared documents and so on, and being able to access everything from their home. So putting everything online is less of a hurdle. So that has changed. Also, of course, the work from home, like we're doing now, it will not go away. And you cannot, talking again a little bit about the logistics of the paperwork, you, cannot expect QA people, let's say, to come into the office just to find a pile of paperwork on their desk, review it. You know, it makes no sense. You want to be able to do that wherever you are. So this having central access to the data becomes more important, like, and it will grow. Let's say that the new generation of people coming on the job market, they probably never learned how to write properly. I mean, their whole life, they've been writing on tablets and computers. Forcing them to work on paper will be demotivating. We have to make the switch. And so the adoption of these digital technologies, it's slow in pharma, but it will come. I mean, we feel it, and it's going faster and faster and faster. We're a bit behind on other industries, as always, in a way. But it will come for sure.
Great. So it's good to hear that. And I agree 100%, right? So every time new generations come in, they're already born with smartphones in their hands. So, change is imminent. So my 4 years old is, she's already knows better than my mother how to operate the smartphone. So, do you have anything else to add that you think it's important to share that we didn't discuss yet?
Yeah, maybe one thing where I believe that's important, as an industry to think about is the interoperability of systems. There is probably not a one-size-fits-all solution at the moment, so it's going to be important that platforms like ours, work together with other platforms and that we're open also to collaborate as an industry there to make sure that, our platform can talk to the inventory management system or the ERP system or the quality management system, not only software, by the way, but also more and more with the hardware. And so that's really something I think as an industry that we should look at and make sure that is possible. And it's also not only technically possible, but it's also validatable in a way to make sure that everything is properly set up for a GMP environment.
Right. So this is a very valid and very good point. Software providers should start cooperating more with each other and giving access to APIs and, allowing the exchange of information, because that way you can actually create a fully automated processes. And
exactly.
So that's a great vision on that. Perfect. So Tun, thank you very much for coming to the show and talking to me and sharing your experiences, points of view on...
Thank you, Jan. It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Qualitalks podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star review. If you want to learn more about GMP, please visit us at www.qualistery.com. Stay compliant and see you at the next one.